It is wonderful to be here with you this morning. When Pastor Rob called me yesterday and said, I have good news and I have bad news for you, I wasn't really prepared for the bad news. And it was wonderful to hear the good news. So continue to pray for your pastor. We believe he's going to be well. He's been fighting this sickness for a long time. We pray this is just kind of the final piece of the puzzle. Amen. Good to see him back here in the pulpit, but it is my joy to be with you this morning. If you turn this morning to Hebrews chapter 2, and are you drifting? You know, as I was watching, perhaps some of you did as well, and been kind of keeping an eye on the Olympics, and yesterday there was a little bit of a debate, if you will, though they weren't on the platform at the same time. Both of our presidential candidates there with Rick Warren at Saddleback, and it was interesting to me, and it was somewhat pivotal to me as I listened to the various opinions that they had. When asked some very specific questions, I was impressed with John McCain's answers on a couple of them. And one of them was, when do you believe that life begins? And he said, at conception. That is a biblical worldview. It's what Scripture says. For you have known me before I was born. From my inward parts, God declares truth in His Word. It's interesting as we look at the world around us that is the chief dividing line today between those of us who love the Lord and the rest of the world. And so this morning, are we drifting? Let's ask the Lord to bless this word. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we ask that you would take your word, Lord, implant it in our hearts, minister your truths to us. Oh, Lord, we're grateful that we have the opportunity to speak to you and you speak to us. And we pray that as we offer ourselves this morning, Lord, to you, that you would emblazon your word upon our hearts. We love you. We thank you. And all of God's people said, amen. Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 2. Because we live in a world where situational ethics, existential philosophy, pop psychology, moral relativism, and just plain carnal crazies rule, it is imperative that we have an anchor. And here in this passage, the first of five admonitions that the writer of the book of Hebrews gives, that we need to be careful lest something occur, lest something happen, lest in this case, here in chapter 2, and there in verse 1, we find that we might drift away. And therefore, verse 1 says, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. The things that we've heard. The Word of God. You see, a world view for the body of Christ ought to be a word view. Amen? If our world view is not shaped, formed, and molded by the Word of God, if our very actions and the things that we undertake in life are not indicative of what God's Word declares to us, the truths that it speaks into our hearts, then we have a contradiction. And so here we have this marvelous passage that we must give that most earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and every disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him, and God also bearing witness both in signs and wonders with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Writer of Hebrews addresses something here, and it's drifting. It's not actively that he begins to speak, but passively he begins to speak. He says, be careful, lest you start to drift. Now, we being Southern Californians for the most part, some of us actually born here. I'm one of those rare few that was actually born in Southern California. But for most of us, and for most of you, you live relatively close to the beach. And if you go out onto the beach, and if you're out there with your children especially, and here in Southern California, where the California Current runs by our coast, we're notorious for having riptide. We're notorious for having a coastal current. We're notorious on our beaches for if you go out and do nothing to fight against that current, that tide, you will drift. That's why most of us, when we look up on the beach, we always, you know, we grab some colored umbrella or a cooler. You've got your hibachi smoke to kind of let you know where it was that you actually camped. You see, you don't have to do anything to go somewhere. You can simply drift. You don't have to be actively involved in disobedience. You don't have to look at the things around you and seek to go the wrong way. You'll be pushed the wrong way by the current, by the tide of this world. The world is against you. The world is against us as the body of Christ. It is a rough place. When I was in business, I had a sailboat, and we used to keep it down at Oceanside Harbor. And very often, on a Saturday afternoon, we'd go out sailing. And it was always amazing to me, at Oceanside Harbor, there's kind of one very large building there that's a multi-story tower, and you can see it from quite a ways off the coast. And we'd go out, and we'd sail a ways, and we'd just simply put the sail down and bob around. And I remember one night, we went out and decided to stay out overnight. By the time we woke up in the morning, without doing a single thing, we were halfway to San Diego. We didn't motor that far. We didn't have any sails up. We weren't actively seeking to be down near San Diego. We were simply drifting. The warning here, lest we drift away. The other four are relatively interesting because they're in chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, be careful lest you get an evil heart. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says, be careful lest you come up short. Verse 11 of chapter 4 says, be diligent lest you fall into disobedience. And by the time you get to chapter 12, it goes from neglecting and drifting to actually defying. You see, that's the pattern of the things of this world. Satan would love for us this morning to ignore the Word of God. Satan would love for us this morning to take the Word of God and put it on a shelf someplace, drag it out on Sunday morning, and every once in a while we open it and we do nothing with it. James, as he wrote to the church there, he said, be ye therefore, in chapter 1, verse 22, doers of the word, not just hearers. Why? Because in just hearing, you deceive yourself. I was at the Harvest Crusade last night. I want to continue to ask you to pray. What an amazing thing. The stadium was packed. They turned people away. They were outside the stadium in cars. Probably 50,000 people there last night. Thousands of decisions for Christ. But those who came forward had to be a doer of the word which was spoken. And we this morning in the body of Christ must be doers of the word. We can't just hear it. Because there is a current in this world that if you do nothing with God's word, you will drift. If you're not actively seeking to go against the flow, the flow will push you where it wants. You'll end up in places you don't want to be. You'll entertain thoughts that you shouldn't entertain. You'll engage in behaviors that the body of Christ, that we as God's kids, should not do. We'll go from that passive neglect ultimately to active disobedience. That's the path. But it all starts with drifting. It all starts with just simply ignoring what God's word says. Doesn't start out rejecting. I don't know how it is here in Torrance in the South Bay Area, but where I live, we have gophers. And those gophers, when they get into your lawn, because we have mostly rock, they have carbide-tipped teeth. They can eat through your car if you leave it parked in the driveway for very long. And what happens with our gophers, some of them are so large that, you know, people think they're coyotes running across their lawn. But if you neglect them, if you just let them go, pretty soon you'll be walking across your yard and your children disappear. If you do nothing, you have to deal with the problem. And the problem for us is we need more of Jesus and less of this world. Amen? We need more of what God's Word says actively working in our life and a whole lot less of what this world has to offer. Amen? You see, the problem is we have the tools, we have the information, but we need to actively implement it. I have to go on a plan of entertaining and then putting to practice, being a doer. And it's the same thing with many things in our lives. If you do nothing, you'll be pushed along by the tide of this world. That's why John, as he penned his first letter, there in 1 John chapter 2, he said there in verse 15, don't love the world. You see, loving the world is going out and just kind of blithely sitting in it. Don't go out into the world, for the things of the world are not good for you, is the implication there. Because if you love the world, the love of God really isn't in you. If you passively go immerse yourself in the things of the world, you're going to end up drifting somewhere. You're going to be someplace you don't want to be. You're going to do something you don't want to do. Because you've placed yourself in peril. You've placed yourself at risk. For all that's of the world, there, verse 16 says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life that we live is not of the Father. It's of the world. We've got some tough choices here in this nation. We live in a state that is governed by insane people. The legislation that's being put forth in our state right now to think that the will of the people can be overturned by a couple of court justices and that we actually have to debate whether marriage is between a man and a woman when it's been so from the beginning of man's sojourn on this earth is insane. The tide is going the wrong way. The Word of God is being cast down, and what is being picked up is the opinion of man. And it's time that we as the body of Christ stand up and say, I'm not going to drift anymore. I'm not going with the moral current. I'm not going the direction that's the wrong way simply because I do nothing. I'm going to actively go against the flow of this world. We need to do that. It's time to stand up. We have a presidential election that gives us much the same opportunity. Are you going to vote for Jesus? You see, I don't care who you vote for, as long as you vote for Jesus. If you're here this morning and you name the name of Christ, you are to go against the flow of this world. And you are to stand for righteousness and holiness and for the Word of God. And that's against the flow. There are a lot of things at issue in our life to where if we simply do nothing, you're going to wake up in a place you don't want to be. So very often I minister to kids at the camp and find out that the thing that has most shaped their worldview is not the Word of God. It's a 52-inch plasma screen in their living room. It is not God's inerrant truths. It's the garbage and filth that's being pumped into our living rooms on a daily basis. You know, going against the flow means turning that silly thing off every once in a while. Amen? Going against the flow means that we look at the world around us and we see it through the lens of Scripture, not the other way around. You see, to passively neglect our salvation means to be overwhelmed by the things of this earth. That's what happens. If I put no effort into my relationship with the Lord, if I do not take in, that's what we're doing this morning, is taking in what God would speak to us this morning. Once we take it in, we need to go put it to practice. Amen? We need to see what God will do with the truths that he imparts to us. We can't drift. We got to swim. And my analogy of the beach that I gave you as we began this morning. You know, when I watch my children out in the water and I look at what they're doing, because we live in the mountains, my children have no skin pigment. They are white. They're, matter of fact, we call my son Brandon Clear. He's so white. But that's good because everyone else has a little skin pigment, so I can see him when he's in the water. And as I stare at him and I look at the direction, what happens to me as a father is I'll walk out there and I'll pretend that I'm just getting on a boogie board with them when in fact I'm actually going out to check on them. Hey guys, you realize how far down the beach you are? You know that the barbecue's back that way. And they'll look, oh, I had no idea. We've been looking at all the umbrellas and the beach towels. We thought you were right over there. And I'll ask them how it happened. I don't know. We were just 1 minute over here and then we were over there. It's what happens when you neglect the things of God in your spiritual life. When you don't pay earnest heed to the things of the Lord, you begin to float. You go where the tide goes. You don't have to do anything to be really far off. Don't forget that. If you neglect the things of God, you don't have to do anything to end up really far away from the Lord. I don't know, honestly, how Christians can say, well, you know, I don't really go to church. I don't really fellowship with the body of Christ. You know, I read my Bible, but it's only on Sunday morning. I really don't pray because, you know, other people pray for me. Beloved, that's neglect. And that neglecting will lead to drifting. And that drifting will lead to disobedience and transgression. You'll end up in a place that you never thought you'd be. We neglect God's word and prayer and fellowship with God's people. We end up in one of two things. Either that passive drifting or that active neglect, disobedience, sins of omission, just simply not doing the right thing, or sins of commission, actively doing the wrong thing. And we all know the difference, don't we? I love dealing with junior hires because when they talk to you, you have to kind of interpret exactly what it is that they're trying to say. You begin by asking them a simple question. Did you, in fact, light that boy's hair on fire? No. What no means is he did not actually light the match that torched the children's hair and caused it to burn. His friend lit the match. He held it in his hand, then lit paper, handed it to another boy, and that boy lit the hair on fire. You see, that's a lot the way the world works, isn't it? No, I didn't do that. I didn't, you know, that's not me. I'm not actively involved in this. I was just kind of there at the time. That's drifting. And drifting will lead to disobedience. Pretty soon you will be the one that's actively ignoring the things that God's word says. So will I. The miracles that are referred to in this passage, the signs and wonders. In our day and time, are you, beloved? The work that the Lord does in the world. For in this room are miracles. It's amazing to me, your pastor, who is such a precious and dear friend to me, how many times it is that he has some bizarre, odd malady that no one else on this earth has ever had. He's like 1 in 2 billion people. And yet, somehow God uses that to accomplish his purpose. Because your pastor's listening to the Lord.
wants to do what God's asked him to do. And because of that, miraculous things happen in his life, in this church, in the body of Christ. Today, as we have the Word of God in our laps, as we hold it, we have a comparative tool for analyzing the way that we're going. Now, if you take off here from Southern California and you wander out across the ocean, again, back to my sailing analogy now, we used to sail out. We'd head to Catalina sometimes, and every once in a while out to San Clemente. We'd usually get turned around out there by a naval boat because it's a bombing range. You're not supposed to be there. But that beside the point, those islands are awfully tiny in a very large sea. You don't have to be off by much to miss it completely. Amen? That's the same way it is with our lives and things spiritual. You only need to start off neglecting the Word of God, and before you know it, you're slightly askew, and before you know it, your God, your worldview, is moral relativism. Your worldview is no longer shaped by the Word of God. Your worldview is shaped by the world and the God of this age. It doesn't take much. You take off out of San Diego and you're off a half a degree by the time you get to the Hawaiian Islands, you're going to miss by over 500 miles. It doesn't take much. Life is a long journey. We know when we're drifting. I know when I'm hearing the Word of the Lord. And I consequently know when I'm doing the Word of the Lord. And I pray that we are this morning doing the Word of the Lord. It's amazing to me. When we looked at how many people that I come across that I end up counseling with, the chief thing that begins their turn away from the things of God is some area of neglect, some area of drifting, some area where they know the truth, but they refuse to do the truth. They just bob around in the world, and before you know it, they've missed. My own pastoral ministry, I've discovered the only sure anchor is the Lord Jesus. The only way to know that I'm going to stay on course is to be anchored to Him. That anchor isn't going to move. Robert Robertson, who was converted under the preaching of George Whitefield, who penned the hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," went through a time in his life when he wasn't walking with the Lord. And he was on a journey basically trying to escape God. He had drifted. He had moved. He had floated away from the things of God. He was on a train and an elderly lady walked up to him on that car and stuck a book in his face and asked him a very simple question. He said, "What is it you want of me?" And she said, "What do you think of this book that I'm reading?" And there it was, his own hymn. And he began to ponder his life and how he had ended up there. He broke down and he confessed that he hadn't been living for the Lord. He'd become a drunk, lived his life in a debauched manner. And he said, "You know, I never intended to be that way. I just took my eyes off of Jesus. I slipped." She looked at him and said, "You realize what it says, don't you?" And he looked down and there it was. One of those beautiful lines, "And the streams of mercy are ever flowing." You see, God's like that. We can drift, we can float, we can be places that perhaps we shouldn't. But the streams of mercy are ever flowing. We can come walking back down the beach. We can have that mind, as Paul talked to the church at Philippi there in Philippians chapter 2, that that mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You see that humble servant we can come to. Just as with my children, I can swim out and I can warn them and I can say, you know, guys, the surf's a little big. The current's a little strong. You need to come in. It's not going too well right now. You're gonna get hurt out here. Ultimately, they need to make that choice for themselves. The beauty is, no matter whether they walk out of the surf 10 feet from where they're supposed to be or a mile from where they're supposed to be, they can walk back down the beach to safety. Providing they recognize those things that were gained to me have counted as loss. Do we count as loss, as Paul said there in Philippians chapter 3, the things of this earth, the counsel of this earth, the qualities of life that this earth waves in our face and says, you must have these things. You see, if we don't count those as loss, then we might be tempted to drift towards them. For us, the all things of Romans 8:28 even includes our drifting. It includes our times when maybe we're not right in the middle of where God would want us to be. And I pray this morning that we as the body of Christ would seek to actively keep from drifting from the Lord. Actively keep in the center of His will. Actively seek to put His word into practice in our lives. You know, when Pastor Rob called me yesterday, we have a couple of assisting pastors at Calvary Chapel Running Springs. Putting into practice being a servant. So I called one of my assistants and said, you know, Pastor Steve is in the hospital. I've been asked if I could go down and fill in and have the privilege of sharing the word with the body in South Bay. Harry, could you fill in for me? And he says, what a joy. I'd been working on a message for a while. Didn't even know when I was going to share it. He said, yeah, I'd love to. You see, drifting would have been, well, you know, it's already noon on Saturday. We're talking about tomorrow. You know, do we really, you know, do we have time? Is not our God able? Of course He is. That man on Tuesday is going to have his leg amputated. That is actively putting into practice your faith. That is taking what you know and saying, you know what, I'm going to use it to the fullest extent of the glory of God. Whether that's the gift of worship or the gift of prayer or the gift of giving, the gift of service, the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, whatever gift God has given you, using it to fight against the tide of this world. Using it for the glory of God. The writer of Hebrews would remind us there in chapter 6, and I would leave you this morning with this as we pray. For this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Anchor doesn't move. And if we'll lay hold of Christ and the things that He has laid hold of us for, we can fight against the drifting of this world. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning, and Lord, for your people, for us as your body, Lord, we confess that we're prone to wander. We confess that we're prone to drift. And Lord, we pray that you would just cause us to grab hold of that great anchor chain. Lord, the beautiful hope that we have in you that one day heaven awaits. And Lord, we ask that you would just strengthen our resolve to stand against the flow, than against the tide, that we would be your people and you would be our God, that you revive our hearts, Lord, unto good works, that we be quick, Lord, to come to you when we have transgressed, even been disobedient. Father, may we be found swimming against the strong tide of this world as we await your return. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this day and all that it holds. Would you strengthen us? Would you bless us? Would you fill us with your Spirit, Lord? Bless this church. Bless us as your people. Use us, Lord, we pray. We ask these things in the mighty name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.